ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
There is no death without sin, and there is no suffering without iniquity. Now, here's the thing. Are there times that children suffer due to the consequences of their parents' sinful choices? Sure. For a mother who smokes or drinks alcohol or does drugs while she's pregnant, it can affect the child. That's just the reality. But that's not the case here. And I guess if we look at the big picture, what we see in this world with sickness and death is a result of sin being brought into this world in the first place. But not every sickness is a result of that person sinning. Now, here we are in the 21st century. We don't think like that anymore, do we? Of course we do. Of course we do. It's a bad theology then. It's still a bad theology today. There was this woman who was born blind, and she came to Jesus, and she joined a church that believed she should be healed of her blindness. And when she wasn't, she said that the people in her church told her, "Something in my life that hindered God's will. God was held up because of some point of sin or disobedience that he just couldn't get around until I straightened up." What a sad theology, right? And yes, there are times that we do bring sickness upon ourselves due to what we're involved in, but that's not always the case. And can you imagine laying this guilt trip on this poor woman? Kind of like Job's friends, miserable comforters, right? Well, praise God, she came to her senses and saw the error, and that it wasn't her fault she was born blind or that she wasn't healed. But it still goes on today. Fred Price said this regarding people who are sick, those who have handicaps, and you tell me if this is the heart of God or not. Fred Price also died of COVID in 2021, but his ministry continues on through his son. It's the same garbage being taught. But this is what he said. Can you imagine going to church and you have a handicap? And you hear this, you tell me how you would feel. He said, "How can you glorify God in your body when it doesn't function right? How can you glorify God? How can he get glory when your body doesn't even work? What makes you think the Holy Ghost wants to live inside a body where he can't see out through the windows, and he can't hear with ears? What makes you think the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of a physical body where the limbs and the organs and the cells do not function right? And what makes you think he wants to live in a temple where he can't see out of the eyes, and he can't walk with the feet, and he can't move with the hand? The only eyes that he has that are in the earth realm are the eyes that are in the body. If he can't see out of them, then God's going to be limited." Imagine telling people that. Paul had an eye problem, right? Jacob walked with a limp, right? And we can go on, and people in the scriptures that had handicaps. Here's a guy that died of COVID, right? And I wonder if people thought, well, I wonder if he didn't have enough faith or some sin in his life that he wasn't healed, right? You see, it's only leaders that pour that out on the people and make them feel guilty, because the leaders end up getting cancer, having heart attacks, all kinds of problems. But when the people have it, it's their fault. That's what Jesus had to deal with here, this theology. Who sinned, Jesus? Was it this man or his parents that sinned? What a crazy theology. Job was a righteous man, right? Look at all he went through, all he suffered. But he was a righteous man. God said that. You know, we have to let the scriptures free us from the bondage that so many people try to place us in today. And again, we are all tainted by sin. This is, you know, here we are some 6,000 plus years from Adam, and we all have these mutations that happen within our genetic makeup. Most of the time, those mutations don't do anything. But when you have 6,000 years of life, now we're seeing the ramifications of that. How could man be around for millions of years? We would have been dead long ago because of these mutations that happen. But we all have sin from Adam. Adam was born perfect until sin entered this world. And then God said the death process began. Not only would Adam die physically, but also spiritual death as sin separated man from God. Ray Stedman put it like this. He said, "What that indicates, of course, is that we are not living in a world where we can always expect perfection, that God does not try to operate the world in such a way that everything works out beautifully. We're living in a fallen world. From Genesis to Revelation, the scriptures declare that we are living in a broken world, a fragmented world, a world which is not what it once was, and it is not what it shall be. For the present, we are afflicted with hurts and damage and injuries and difficulties and hardships. That's part of life today, and it's all a result of the introduction of the principle of human evil, of sin, into the human life. The scriptures confirm that everybody is affected by this principle of human evil. Many of us think we have escaped it because we were born without evident handicaps, but in fact, we all have handicaps. Someone has well said, when you look at a beautiful athlete, these fine, handsome, well-coordinated young men and women, what you are looking at is the ruin of an Adam. Everywhere humanity reflects the weakness of the fall. This is why our minds cannot operate as they should. I tried to quote a poem in the early service, and I could not think of the first line. It's just fled from me. This shows how sin has attacked me, and you're no better off. That's the reality. You know, we all face that. I mean, how many times have I thought, where did I put that? And, you know, the funny thing is I knew I placed something where I could find it. It was in the ideal place. It won't get moved. It's right where I need it. Such a great place, I couldn't remember where it was. And here's, again, this problem. This sickness and sin, where does it come from? Why is this man sick? And Jesus is going to answer that as we look at question answered. Look at verse 3 here in John chapter 9. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one could work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Again, the theology that the disciples had that was taught to them by the rabbis, the Jewish religious leaders, was if you're sick, you have sin in your life. Again, not all sickness is a direct result of sin. This man who was born blind was not a result of sin. Jesus said that. And we need to keep that in mind. You know, when people are hurting, they don't want a theological debate or answer from us. They want love. They want comfort. They want support. Keep that in mind. We could be theologically correct, but totally wrong. Now, why is this man, what is Jesus going to do with this man who's born blind? He's going to bring glory to God as he heals him. Does that mean God gave this man this blindness so he could heal him? Well, that, I don't think so. It's part of the fall. God doesn't cause it, but he allows it so he can be glorified through it. He uses it for good. Now, F.F. Bruce said, "This does not mean that God deliberately caused the child to be born blind in order that, after many years, his glory should be displayed in the removal of the blindness. To think so would be, again, be a slander on the character of God. It does mean that God overruled the disaster of the child's blindness so that when the child grew to manhood, he might, by recovering his sight, see the glory of God in the face of Christ, and others, seeing the work of God, might turn to the true light of the world." Yeah, we have to understand that. You know, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night's coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." What is that about? Well, I think it's talking about his character, who he's, what he's all about. You know, the dictionary defines character as the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing. Look at the life of Jesus. What was the driving force of his life? To glorify his Father in heaven. That was his passion, completing the work that God sent him to do. And this is what Jesus is passing down to his disciples, who then passed it down to others, and we are doing the same today. And the work he came to do was to call sinners to himself so they could be set free from the bondage of sin that they were in. And that was accomplished as he went to the cross at Calvary to pay in full the penalty for our sins. Luke 19:10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Who's that? Every single person on this planet. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But here's the thing. If we're in darkness, which we are, we're blind to the sin that we're in. How can we be made to see? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Oh, there it is. In creation, he created light as he created the heavens and the earth. But now his light shines upon sinners and they can come forth as a new creation. The Holy Spirit opens the things of God up to our hearts and our lives. The Word of God is living and powerful. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All these things the Holy Spirit is showing us. He brings people across our path. For me, it was my wife. That was the light that he was showing me through her, pointing me to Jesus. In fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:6 said, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Absolutely. When we come to Christ, that light drives out the darkness. God is living in us, the Shekinah glory in a sense. We are, in a sense, the temple of God, Paul spoke about in Corinthians. And in the temple was the Holy of Holies where God dwelt. So if God is indwelling us, then the light of God is shining from us, or should be. Don't hide it under a basket. Don't cover it up, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. And if we're a new creation in Christ, Paul said, if you're in Christ, you are a new creation, right? Everything that's a past is gone. All things have become new. Absolutely, we're a new creation. God has touched our hearts and our lives. And we want to be more like Jesus, and that happens as we spend more time with him. Again, he said here in John 9, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work, as long as I'm in the world. Again, I think he's saying, look, my time is short. I'm not going to be here very long. My ministry is coming to an end. I'm going to be crucified. And again, about 6 months from the cross we're at here in the Gospel of John, there is not much time left. But while there is still time, he's going to do everything he can to bring the good news of the gospel to the people of this world. He wants to shine that light. And yeah, he was going to be raised the third day. But his earthly ministry was coming to an end. And now it was the Holy Spirit who is going to be drawing people to Jesus. As Jesus said in John 16, the Holy Spirit is with you. What? Doing what? Drawing you to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will be in you when you're a believer. I like what the Puritan pastor Richard Baxter wrote. He said, I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to have another opportunity. Who knows? No one knows. We don't have an expiration date on our foot. But boy, I use every day to the fullest. And my wife knows that's the passion of my heart, to do all that I can for the Lord while I can. Because let's face it, we all have a limited time to do the work that God has called us to do. And I want to finish the race strong. And Julie knows, when I run in races, I don't run to finish last. I will push myself and push myself, and that's just the way I am. But what about in my Christian life? Well, I want to do the same. I want to use the time I have to the fullest. You know, when I went to Russia, people were worried about me going to Russia because of the war is going to break out. Broke out after I got home. COVID, all kinds of things. But I thought, this is where God wants me. And I'm going to use this to share the gospel with these people. Moses said in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us the number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Yeah, Lord, let me not waste my time. That doesn't mean that we can't enjoy ourselves out in this world. I mean, God has given us so much beauty here. But help me to number my days. I don't want to waste them. There was a commercial many years ago, life is tough, so play hard. That's what the world says. But I don't think that's what Moses is saying here. He's saying life is tough, it's short. And because of that, we need God to give us his wisdom so we can maximize our time here on earth. Yeah. Life is tough, it's short, so live it to the fullest serving the Lord. And God has equipped each of us with the abilities to do things in the body of Christ. And we need to use those gifts that God is giving us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 through 31, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. That's just it. It's not about what I have done. It's about what God has done in me. I don't glory in what, look at what I've done. Are you kidding me? No, look at what God has done. You know, he's taken this lump of clay and look at how he's using it. And I'm thankful for that. I don't glory in myself. I glory in him that he's allowed me to do the things that I do. And I'm sure you feel the same way. What are you doing for the Lord right now? And if you're not doing anything for the Lord, why? Now, some say, well, you know, I'm trying to raise my family. That's true. That is, besides the Lord, your spouse is number one, your children are number two, and then ministry is number three. But it doesn't mean we can't serve the Lord. When Jesus is our example, a man, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, right? What does that mean? It means he was focused. Let's not be distracted. Let's stay focused on what God wants us to do. Now, illness, tragedies, things that happen in our lives. We kind of talked about this, but God will allow these things to happen in our lives so he can accomplish his work in our lives. I can tell you throughout my 63 years of being alive that there are things that happen in my life that I would have never picked. You know, if you had choices, nah, I don't want that one. That, forget that. There's too much pain in that. I don't want that. I don't want this. I'll take that one over there. But it's not a smorgasbord. God gives us exactly what we need. I don't always understand it, but I have to trust in him. And, you know, for me, and I don't know if this happens to you, things go on in your life, very difficult things, and it's easy for me to get upset, to get angry. God, why are you allowing this? But there's a lesson. Instead of complaining or getting angry as you go through things in your life, what is God going to do in you and through you as you're going through them? One pastor wrote this. This is amazing to me. He said, "The issue is not sin," said Jesus. "Rather, this man's misery gives me opportunity for ministry. I am the light of the world, and I have only so many hours in which I can work before night falls on the day of my public ministry. Misery always opens the door for ministry. As a junior in high school, I had the opportunity to represent our district at the Athletes in Action National Conference. Although the conference began Monday morning, the featured speaker failed to show up for Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays meetings. He was on campus, but the pain he lived with continually prevented him from joining us. Maybe you heard his story. During the 68-69 season, Brian Sternberg was at the West Coast Relays in Fresno, California, pumped, primed, and poised to break the world record in the pole vault. The day before the meet, he was doing what pole vaulters often do, working out on a trampoline. But following one particular double flip, he hit the metal railing and broke his neck. It was a tragedy and a shock to the track and field world when Sternberg was told not only that he would never vault again, but that he would be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. Other speakers and athletes filled in for Brian at the AIA conference. Then came Thursday night. After Brian was wheeled out, he began to share with this group of young athletes how he had been a nominal, lukewarm Christian for a number of years. Then came the tragedy, and he said, "As I was in the hospital flat on my back, hearing I would never run, never walk, never even lift my hands again, God started to do a work in my life and gave me a peace I cannot explain. Jesus became so incredibly real to me at that time and has been real to me since then and in a way I could never comprehend or explain." Then with tears rolling down his cheeks, this world-class athlete said, "If that was the only way I could have what I have right now in my heart, I would take the jump all over again." When he extended an invitation to make a real commitment to Jesus Christ, virtually the entire audience came forward. We saw revival happen unlike anything I ever seen before or since. But it came through a man who was broken and in pain. Absolutely. You know, what are we struggling? What difficulties are we going through? What tragedies are we experiencing? We need to be able to let God work in us so he could work through us during these times. And it's not always easy. People are born with handicaps, or later on they develop some health issues that make it harder for them to do things, and it's not easy. But how is God going to use this? I'll give you an example from my own life. Back in November of 2011, I had some back issues, and it was so bad at times I couldn't even sit. I had to stand to eat meals and to watch television. I was in tears. I'd get in the car to do church stuff, and I could hardly drive. And I was seeing a doctor, and he gave me some injections in my back, which didn't help. And this went on for 3 months. And in January, I traveled to Russia to teach at a pastor's conference and, you know, share the word wherever I could. I was able to teach 8 times in Russia. Yeah, I was in pain, but the Lord was very gracious. He saw me all the way from Wisconsin to Russia and Russia back and all the stuff in between. He was very gracious. Well, when I got home, I went to see an orthopedic surgeon. He did some tests and came to the conclusion that my problem was with my back and L4 and L5. I saw a neurosurgeon. He said you got some 4 bone spurs and some spinal stenosis and needed to take care of that problem. And as I heard of all that, I thought, what is wrong with these other doctors? Why didn't they do this before? And I started to get mad. I mean, I had an MRI back in September, and none of this was found out. And then the Lord reminded me, you know how the Lord just kind of speaks to you and goes, you know, Joe, you would have never went to Russia if you had your back surgery. Oh, okay, Lord, you had a better plan than me, all right? Instead of being mad, I'm thankful, Lord, that you allowed me to go to Russia to teach at this pastor's conference. You know, God has a plan, and the problem comes when we see our plans, what we want to do. You know, for me, it was not to be in pain anymore and to be able to run. I wanted to run and sit. But God was using all that time frame, that delay to get me to Russia. And yeah, when you're going through some issues in your life, yeah, it's good to examine. Is there something that I'm doing that's wrong, Lord, that I need to change in my life? There's nothing wrong with that, but that may not be the issue. And I think many times it's not. And is it a dark world out there? Absolutely. Is it a hurting world? Absolutely. How has God helped you through those difficult times? Because what God has shown you, you could have compassion upon others. You know, I think that's one of the reasons God had me in the nursing field for some 30 years working in ICUs. Having compassion towards people. I worked with nurses that didn't have compassion for their patients or the family members. I don't want to get too close to them. Distance myself. Why are you crying? Why are you upset? I'm thinking, I haven't taken care of this young kid for weeks now, and he just died. And his dad saw him get in this accident, and now he's only 18, he's dead. Why? You don't have any compassion? And God was preparing me for ministry. How can you be involved in a ministry if you don't have compassion for people? You have to care for them. You know, as much as you may want to say it when someone comes to you and is complaining, suck it up, don't do it. That is not the answer, okay? Have compassion. If you were in their shoes, what would you want them to say? See, we got to think about that. Are we more concerned for ourselves, or are we concerned for the lost or those that are hurting in the body of Christ? Are we willing to sacrifice our lives to see people come into the kingdom of God? And that's what we have to come to grips with. We have to do a heart check, make sure we're okay, because will bad things happen to us? Yeah. Maybe some of you right now are going through some very, very difficult times. God has not left you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So what is he showing you? What does he want you to do? Draw close to him. Spend time in his word. Spend time in fellowship with other believers that can encourage you and help you. So important. Don't come up with a theological answer. Did you sin, or was it someone else that sinned that brought? No, that's not the answer. The answer is, you know what? Can I pray for you? And sometimes it's not even saying anything. It is just being there for the person and loving them. Look at what Jesus is going to do now for this man who was born blind, the blind see. Look at verse 6 here in John chapter 9. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So here is this man who was born blind in this hopeless condition, never saw in his entire life. He's an adult, and can you imagine never seeing anything? Never experiencing a sunrise or sunset, never seeing flowers, trees, grass, animals, clouds. You guys have to imagine in your mind. You know, we take sight for granted, but wow, being able to see is amazing. And here Jesus heals this man. Again, how does this relate to us? We're born in a hopeless condition. It's called sin. There's no way we can cleanse ourselves from it, but Jesus can by his cleansing work on the cross of Calvary. We were once blind, but now we see. And how does he heal this man? He spits on the ground and, making the dirt into a clay mixture, places it onto this man's eyes and says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Can you imagine?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.